Okay. If you'll bow your heads, say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I need ears to hear.
I need ears to hear.
Eyes to see.
Eyes to see.
And a heart to understand.
And a heart to understand.
What you're trying to tell me.
What you're trying to tell me.
Through this word tonight.
Through this word tonight.
In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to remind you that some of the people from the church went to this movie last night, which was like a documentary. And it was about the blood moons. And as I was looking at the calendar, for obviously the beginning of March, on the bottom, it talks about the blood moons. And the new moon started on Nisan 1, but we need to be aware that there is a purpose for God to speak to us about the blood moons. The prophet Joel connected a full solar eclipse with the blood moons and with the end times in Joel chapter 2, verses 30 and 31. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Now, you say, well, what are you trying to tell us? Well, Israel is the focus. It's not just the church. So I want you to remember that on April 3rd, on Friday night, it is Passover Eve. But the day of Passover is the 4th. That's the next blood moon. And you might be interested in the little write-up on the calendar now. I'm not reading from the Bible. I'm reading from your calendar. This is the month of Nisan. And we are definitely going forward. And the little message on the bottom is the blood moons of Tetrad, T-E-T-R-A-D, okay? In a full lunar eclipse, the moon appears red like blood. The prophet Joel connected this with the end times in Joel 2:30-31. Periodically, a tetrad occurs and four blood moons in a row, astoundingly on the very times of the biblical feasts of Passover and Booths, or Tabernacles. This is occurring in 2014 and 2015. So you've already had two. The third is happening in a few more days. So why are we bringing this up? Because there's a purpose. God does not fool around. He wants his people to be aware that he's on the job, especially the Jew. It has happened only three other times in the last 500 years. Now think about that. 500 years, only three times. It happened in 1493 and 94. It happened in 1950. 50. 49 and 50. It happened in 1967 and 68. All times of cataclysmic events for the Jewish people. You say, well, why are you bringing this up? Because they need prayer. And we are the church that has the knowledge. We know that this next level of revelation that God wants to bring, not only to Israel, but to the church itself. Because how many know that there's some people that go to church on a part-time basis? When it's convenient, when it's comfortable, they will definitely visit the church. And I'm not accusing anybody, because there was a season in my life where I wasn't as diligent as I have become. So I counted on God's grace. But I remember after 9/11, the churches were full. Why? Do we need to have a kick in the butt in order to get into the church? Sometimes we do. And I'm not trying to be critical. Sometimes a good kick in the right place will adjust you.
Amen.
Thank you. And I'm not accusing. I'm just trying to tell you, an adjustment sometimes is needed. You know why? Because we get lazy. We get lazy. We get focused on ourselves. Oh, it would be the perfect time to take a nap. And we listen to the thoughts instead of being accountable to the Lord. And to stand in the gap for the Jew. In case you forgot, the Jew is the foundation we stand on.
Amen.
If it wasn't for the Old Testament, you wouldn't have a new one. And I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm just trying to make you and I aware that God is speaking loud and clear. And he's using a manifestation that he has already predicted back in Joel chapter 2. Now, I don't have a press to go read it because I've quoted it already. But you could check out Joel chapter 2 because it might be helpful to awaken you to not focus on just you, but to focus on what's happening in Israel. I want you to be aware that there have been many prophetic messages written about Israel. If it wasn't for God's intense grace to them, they would not be a country. They would not be a country. 1493, we could go back. 93 and 94. That's when Christopher Columbus was pressed to actually go to Spain and get some help from the Queen. Now, if you go back in history, and you can check this out, Spain had a real quest against the Jews of that day. They wanted them annihilated. Okay? That's a fact. Every Jew had to be removed from that country, and they confiscated all their property. Do you know any other nationality that that happened to? No, there isn't any. They were hounded, and their money was put into the coffers of the nation, and that's what the money that was used to pay for those three little ships. And many Jews had to be out for a certain date. Otherwise, they would be killed. And so therefore, how many know the Jews may know how to pray? Yeah, they know how to pray. Okay? And so the end result of their experience, they came to a new place named America. Now, you say, well, was the blood moon advertised in the synagogues at that time? Maybe yes, maybe no. But I believe that those in the knowledge of the word of Joel chapter 2 had an eye on what was happening, because it was an outstanding experience that they couldn't shake from their thought patterns. Okay? You say, well, what does that have to do with now? 1949 and 50, what happened? Huh?
That was during the Spanish Inquisition.
1949?
Or 1949, that was
when
God's word was...
World War II was finished.
Yeah.
And they began to set up Israel. 1948, huh? They became a state, yes. very little skinny state, and then they got attacked on every level by armies that were much, much larger than what they're capable of fighting. And I've heard over the years many outstanding testimonies that angels literally...
And it was because of all these angels that were...
Angels, and they were seen.
Yes, the enemy saw them.
Yes.
The enemy saw them, but the saints or the Jews did not. Why would the neighbors see them and not the Jew?
Fear.
Huh?
They couldn't move. They were so afraid.
Yes. What did we quote on Sunday? Was there a guy that was seen as a barley loaf? Where was he but hiding? Yeah. So is the Jew have a tendency to be afraid? How about every other nationality? I know a few Frenchmen who have problems with fear. You know, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm just trying to tell you. You know, fear is a real, you know, reality that people, you know, we end up bowing to it and we end up serving that spirit without even realizing it sometimes. But Gideon was pressed of God to declare that he was a mighty warrior. Did he feel like one?
No.
Do you think Sven feels like one? Does God say he is?
Yes.
Ah, so where are you going to go? Are you going to go with what God says you are, or are you going to go with your opinion of yourself?
God says.
Yeah, but you know what? God says that you're great, you're beautiful, you're healthy, you're wealthy and wise. What do you say about it? Are you in agreement with what he says? He declares you healed and delivered. Okay, what am I getting at? I'm trying to give you an awakening that we need to be aggressive in obedience to the Lord. If he's calling you to intercede for Israel because it's a dangerous season for them, we need to do that. If he asks you to fast and pray, please obey. Don't shun it. Don't walk away from it. Because again, God wants to reestablish Israel, and in my opinion, and it's only an opinion now, I'm not broadcasting or prophesying. I am telling you, in my opinion, I believe that everything that they're trying to make Israel bow to, and that includes what United States wants done, and the hatred against them is going to turn, and God's going to use it for his glory. The election of Bibi Netanyahu was a slap in the face of those who want to control that country. Mm-hmm. It was literally a slap in the face. Why? Because God is saying, look, I'm going to put those in charge that I want in charge, and I'm going to prevent the darkness of overwhelming that nation. Because they are mine, says the Lord. Now, are the angels on strike? You sure?
Yes.
Are they working at your house?
Yes, I have three of them. You told me I did.
That's right, too. I remember now. I forgot.
I believe it. And I'm still waiting to see them.
Hasakiyateya. You'll see them in the peripheral.
Yes, that's what you told me.
Hasake shekiyarata seya. You know, the biggest issue in the body of Christ is unbelief. It is still alive and well in the church. And we go about our everyday business and we think, oh, well, if I did everything right, God will take care of me. I got news for you. He's not keeping a record of your wrongs.
Thank you, Jesus.
Whoops. That hit somebody like a ton of bricks and they just threw them all back at me. Now close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus, my unbelief has to go.
I
know for sure
that
Jesus took my sins
and
he annihilated them.
He
They don't exist.
They don't exist.
And the record is clean.
And the record is clean.
There are no sins for him to see on me.
No sins for him to see on
me. And there's no condemnation to me.
No condemnation.
So I'm putting that truth in my heart.
I'm putting that truth in my heart.
And I'm not going to back down. Unbelief, be gone.
Unbelief, be gone.
You're not going to win.
You're not going to win.
I belong to Jesus Christ.
I belong to Jesus.
I'm a part of the body of Christ.
I'm a part of the body.
I've been washed in His blood.
I've been washed in
and His blood doesn't leave any stains.
And His blood doesn't leave any stains.
There are no shadows.
None whatsoever.
It's even better than Clorox.
It's even better than Clorox.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It will not burn.
It will not burn.
It won't make me weak.
It won't make me weak.
In fact, it'll change my nature.
In fact, it'll change my nature.
Because now I'm righteous.
Because now I'm righteous.
By faith.
By faith.
Not by my record of every right that I've done.
Or
every wrong that I've done. The wrongs have been erased.
Wrongs have been erased.
And the rights are recorded.
And the rights are recorded.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We claim that same promise.
We claim that same promise.
For the Jews today.
For the Jews today.
Those that are in Israel. They need to awaken.
They need to awaken.
And we're asking, Lord.
And we're asking, Lord.
That on April 4th. When they see that blood moon, it'll be the third witness. It'll be the third witness on a feast day. And it will manifest
in their hearts
that God has not forgotten them any more than He forgot them in Spain in the 1400s. Any more than He forgot them in 1968. When Jerusalem became a city united.
When Jerusalem became a city.
And it is forever.
And it is forever.
It is forever. Israel is forever.
Jerusalem is united forever.
And those who have a different plan,
God will deal with them.
Amen?
Amen.
And amen.
And amen.
Go ahead.
After that movie or documentary,
yes.
They had a panel of four people, and
cool.
They had question and answer kind of thing. And one of the things that was brought out was that Israel is not going to see the blood moon. It's only
yes,
seen
that's right.
In the United States. So it was kind of a question. Why is that? And I think it was the scientist,
the host asked John Hagee, and John Hagee didn't know.
Really?
He said but came around and said, I don't know why that is.
Well, I think it's because the intercession needs to come from the church.
Saying,
don't forget, we, the United States of America, have a population of believers that are strictly flowing to make sure that Israel stays in a safe space. And God is listening. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Well, I think the last blood moon, the super moon, is going to be seen in Israel. But there's gonna be
the Tabernacles one?
Yeah.
In the fall?
That's on September 28th.
Yeah.
6th. Oh,
8th? That's this year, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah,
so we need to be aware. And I'm not trying to create fear. Now, don't go into a panic mode. Look at this as a sign from heaven that is definitely a gift to the people of God to awaken them that Joel was predicting that these things would happen. And they did. Now, you say, well, why would he choose to put this on at this time? I can tell you that there was a man of God that I highly respected in 2009. Said to the church at that conference that I was at, he said, I do believe we have crossed the threshold. We have entered the Lord's day. We have entered the Lord's day. Now, how many know you can cross the threshold, but you're not ready to be sacrificed yet? When Jesus was born, he had 30 years to get his act into perfect lineup with the Lord. Yes or no? Mm-hmm. Did anybody in Israel know that he was alive?
Knew that Jesus was alive?
We talked about this Sunday. How many people actually knew that Jesus was the Messiah for those 30 years? How many?
Oh, the three wise men.
The wise men knew.
And his mother.
His mother.
Yep.
Elizabeth.
And Elizabeth.
Okay.
Yep.
And who else? His father. But his father died very young.
Right.
Stepfather. Okay. Not his biological father. Now, his father had a problem with him. I would, too. You know, because... let's face it, it took a dream for him to wake up and marry her anyway. Now, so you've got a handful of people.
Five, Grace.
Who?
No, five people.
Yes.
And five means Grace.
Five means Grace,
I don't
yes.
What that means at all.
Well, I think, you know, we need to be aware that it's just a handful that actually knew and were obedient with the knowledge they had. Now, there were a prophet and a prophetess, too. But they passed away very, probably, when he was still very young. Because I think Simeon said, now I'm ready to go home.
Yep.
So we kind of tend to think that, you know, anybody? Anna? Anna, was it?
Mm-hmm.
She was also a widow for many, many years. So chances are they didn't get to see the miracles that Jesus performed. Now, when, you know, we have a tendency to look at that pattern. When he begins his public ministry, almost every miracle that he does and that manifests his reality as Redeemer, he tells them to please don't say anything. Does anybody know why? Why would he tell them not to make it public? The blind man that became able to see, he says, don't tell anybody. Go and show yourself to the priest. What was he trying to do?
So the people would see what had happened to him and who that it happened through him?
Well, think about when they went to his hometown and they checked on him and they questioned him. Pete?
Abraham.
Okay. And so he doesn't want to be recognized because he's got a job to do. And he is going to be the sacrificial lamb. He knows it. But it gets hotter in the kitchen as the years come up. And as I was listening to someone the other day, how many know there were 10 lepers that were healed? Okay? Now, leprosy does what to your body?
Eats away.
So chances are these 10 lepers had pieces of their flesh missing. Could be fingers, could be toes, could be nose, could be whatever, depending on where it hit. Could be ears missing or whatever. Amen? All 10 went and obeyed what Jesus told them to do. And it says all 10 got healed. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
One person returned. That gives you a ratio of how many are in the church praying for the Jew. 1 out of 10. They have an experience with God. God gives them a grace. God gives them an incredible miracle. And only one comes back. Why? The one who came back, he bowed before the Lord and he worshiped. And he was grateful. And the Word of God says, he was made whole. What does that mean when he was made whole? His fingers were restored. His ears were restored. His facial, whatever was gone, was now fully restored. He became whole. Why weren't the other 9 whole?
Because there was no appreciation.
Thank you. How many people that I saw over the years healed, delivered, set free, and they refused to come back to worship God? And I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just trying to tell you, that's the ratio. So if you get upset, you look at what happened to Jesus. I mean, it looked pretty bad. He feeds probably 15 to 25,000. And when it's time to go to the cross, how many are showing up?
Close your eyes.
Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I need to understand.
Value of praising you
and worshiping you, because I want to be made whole.
I want to be grateful,
and sometimes I don't have it in me. So give me the grace to have it in me, and then to give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray.
That's all she wrote. Yeah.